Okay, so Parami here again tonight, and I'm on the sofa back in the men's community lounge, and this evening I've got with me Damarati. We had planned to have a conversation with Damarati and Maitreyi, but Maitreyi has succumbed to the lurgy, the bug that's been knocking out public preceptors through the week. So I'm afraid she's had to go to have a lie down. So we've got Damarati. So Damarati, here we are. We've been doing these podcasts every day since the college meeting started, as you know. And we've been talking about transitions quite a lot. So we've talked about the transition from, the deputies have changed. Punyamala joining the college, so that was a new person coming into college. Manjivadra retiring from the college, so somebody that's been here for quite a while going. But of course, the kind of main transition that's been talked about and picked up on is the fact that you, yourself, have come to the end of your second 5-year stint as chair of the college. Mm. So quite a few people have talked about that. They've rejoiced in you. You probably saw on Facebook quite a lot of rejoicings. So in the evening that we had where we rejoiced in you as chair of the college was fantastic. It was really lovely atmosphere. And people said some really, really, really thoughtful and things that, you know, really appreciative things. So how is it for you, I suppose, is the question.
God, it's a bit too soon to say, I think. You've been doing it for 10 years. I think I was saying the night that we did the kind of ritual handover, which is a lovely little ritual. By the way, just did the threefold puja, and we had your vase of initiation on the shrine, and a little vase that Banty gave you, so probably a vase that had been used to ordain quite a lot of the people in that room had been ordained by Banty. And I don't know if you've mentioned the ritual before, but just that very sort of nice, simple ritual of taking the vase off the shrine and handing it to Sadaloka and Sadaloka putting it back. And I liked the simplicity of it and the kind of weight of it. You know, it's such a kind of significant object in that lovely big Buddha on the shrine. So I guess that was the moment. I hate to keep on quoting Facebook, but since you mentioned it, one of the things I wrote as I'm catching myself walking about singing various songs, and one of the ones that's been coming back is I'm Free from Tommy. So I suppose I'm aware of that. I'm afraid I've even got all these Pali Canon metaphors of, it's like somebody in jail being released, somebody in debt being free of debt, somebody carrying a heavy weight being put in the down. I don't want to make too much of that, but it's definitely that sense of being freed up from something.
I mean, that does make it sound like it's been an onerous task.
It's been demanding. I mean, for sure, it's a kind of, how would you put it? I mean, the sort of nature of the job is that you tend to be involved in some of the things going on in the movement that need most sort of thought and most kind of attention. So it's certainly been demanding. I mean, I've just been noticing really simple things. Like I'm sitting having lunch, and quite often over lunch, I'd be thinking about the afternoon session and how we might do it and how we would structure the discussion. And just the pleasure of not having to do that, just being able to sit and have your dinner and talk to the people in front of you.
Well, that's very particular, isn't it? I mean, that's a lot to do with the actual running of the meeting that we're in. But presumably the task or the function of being chair of the college is had more to it than just the running of the meetings.
Yeah, and I was talking to Mokshananda earlier in the meeting, actually, and I was saying in some ways it's been a fantastic job, to put it like that. You know, like, without getting into, you can ask me a bit about this in a minute, but without getting into too much about the role of the college, but you're involved in this culture, you're involved in this whole kind of community that's grown, that's developing, and you've got a sort of responsibility to be aware of the shape that it's taken. You're engaged with that whole kind of current, that whole growth, and I don't know how to put this quite, but from a totally self-referential point of view, you've got a kind of permission to get involved in anything interesting that's happening, and to be informed about it, to engage with it. So
temperamentally, that quite suits you.
Temperamentally, that totally suits
me. Yeah, because you're somebody where I think this was said of you a lot in your rejoicings, that you have an extraordinary capacity for curiosity and fascination. You can get fascinated by a lot of things, and obviously you're fascinated by the nature of our community.
Yeah, I mean, when I got ordained, that's what my name means.
Fascinated by the Dharma.
Ratti is that capacity for pleasure and fascination. And being called Dhammarati was a wee nudge in the direction of being delighted by and fascinated by things that were actually likely to be useful and spiritually productive. So no, it has been a good way of my character getting involved with what going on and what might actually be useful. One thing I was going to say, there's been a few specific things in the last few years, and I can remember the last 5 years in particular, but one of the kind of real kind of briefs, I think, that I got and that the college got was the What is the Western Buddhist Order paper, and quite a lot, I think, has followed from that. And I think what you've got in that paper is, Bhante, there's been this long process of Bhante anticipating his own death and setting up the conditions for a kind of spiritually alive community that carries on after his death. And I think a lot of what I've been involved in, a lot of what the college has been involved in the last few years, have been setting up the conditions for the Tri Ratna being something that's spiritually alive and something that's I think there's sort of value in this idea of a single community, and there are three sort of big areas I can think of. One is that Bhante talks in that paper about the movement and the order having overlapping groups of order members that are responsible for different areas of it, but saying that there needed to be coordination between them. If the movement wasn't just gradually going to, over time, fragment, that you needed something that coordinated and brought all those different groupings together. So over the last few years, we've had the first sort of the first three meetings, I think, of the International Council, and it's just very, very sort of simple structure in a way, but just bringing order, college and movement in all the main areas internationally that Tri Ratna is present and works in, bringing them together in a way that lets them meet on that values level and sort of talk about the shape that the movement's taken. So being involved in that, there's been this whole discussion around commonality of practice. But again, just that very simple line, I think, in the same paper, that a spiritual community needs a high level of commonality of practice if it's going to make progress together, if we're able to sort of learn from each other's experience. And I think the sort of second big area that we've been involved in, I've been involved in personally, we've been involved in as a college, is starting to kind of clarify the basic shape of our spiritual training and starting to look at what we teach, how we teach, and getting more aware of that as a sort of a coherent approach to spiritual training. So there's been that. And then I think the third area has been, I think it was sort of slower to see this, but Adistana, finding Adistana, having a home for Bhante, having somewhere where the preceptors' college is based, where the chairs' meetings happen, where some of the conventions that can fit in here happen. You've got a single space that brings those different bits of the order and the movement together, brings them in. I mean, one of the lovely things about Adistana is seeing all these different groupings overlap and all the kind of interconnections that you get, because it's big enough to be holding different groupings and doing it, you know, like you can really feel. Quite often people remark they're aware that Bhante's in his little annex and that you're in the same space that the founder of the movement, that their teacher is in. So pretty much the last few years that's been the work. It's been these conditions for, well, looking at, I'm seeing a sort of unified, spiritually alive community, talking about it in terms of a, you know, like a physical location for that, an organisational structure for that, clarity around teaching and practice and what that means.
So let me go back to what you said about the setting up of the International Council. And I mean, maybe what I'm going to ask you is already implicit in what you said. So it grew out of that 2009 paper, What is the Western Buddhist Order? And the idea of different bodies talking to each other. So what would you say to the people in the order and movement who say it's just another bureaucracy, it's just another set of meetings, it's just another top heavy bureaucracy? I mean, I could say what I think about that, and I have on many an occasion, but given that you've mentioned it as quite a major task of the last 5 years, you know, presumably you didn't think we were setting up just another bureaucracy, or you wouldn't have bothered. So what would you say to people who genuinely feel concerned about that, because they look at it from the outside and just think it's another meeting?
Yeah, and I suppose the sort of first thing is I could see the need for it. Like, I think, again, one of the kind of privileges of the work that I've been doing, the work that you've been doing, is that you get to see the movement in so many different places. You get to see it in the UK, in Europe, in India, in North America, Latin America, Australasia, and so on. And you know, like, on the one hand, you can see the kind of shared taste. You're definitely taking part in what's recognisably a single community, but at the same time you can sort of see that people aren't always aware of that kind of broader context, that broader perspective. Now, this isn't the International Council so directly, but it was very interesting, the colloquium that we had here in spring last year. We brought together people who were very involved in mindfulness teaching in different parts of the movement. And what was really striking was how little they had to do with each other, how little communication. So you had people who were speaking at a real depth of personal experience, who were influential in teaching and passing their experience on. But you could see how little overlap there was and how little that experience got shared. And I suppose my sort of sense of the Buddhist thing, that the Sangha is stable to the extent that it meets together in large numbers, meets in harmony, parts in harmony. I think setting something up where you're really looking at a deepening understanding of the core values, core principles. You're looking at how again, back to this thing, how the movement is developing, how these developments... I think the International Council has played a real job in clarifying, first of all, what the principles are, but giving you a tool for evaluating how things are developing in the relationship to these principles. But also it means that, you know, like a learning that happens in North America can be shared by people in Europe, something that the Indians learn around how you create, you know, like an effective order. Quite often there are lessons in that apply elsewhere.
Yeah, well, that's quite interesting, because one of the things that, you know, obviously we've noticed as the International Council's gained, you know, we've sort of had a few meetings now, as you said, and looking around the world, is that, for example, as you mentioned, the order strand in India is very well developed.
Yeah.
But it would seem the movement strand still has work to be done. Here in the UK, in many ways, or in Europe, the movement strand is very well defined.
Yeah.
We've got the European Chairs Assembly, which has, you know, got many years now behind it and has become a very effective meeting.
Yeah.
So are you saying that, in a way, the International Council gives the opportunity for that kind of weight and knowledge to be shared in areas where maybe it's not so well developed?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And if you think, I mean even that, it still sounds like a meeting.
Right,
but
okay.
Actually, what you're talking about, what the movement is how you most effectively make the Dharma available.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at a Dharma centre, you look at what's taught in a Buddhist centre, really what you're looking at is how people come into contact with the Dharma and what best supports their own personal practice, best supports them building relationships.
Mm.
And to have something where the newest centres, the least developed centres, have access to the most experienced, the most effective, the most innovative. Really what you're talking about is an articulation of the Dharma that I think is an unusually profoundly thought through presentation of what the Dharma looks like in a kind of modern culture. And you're setting up the conditions that allow that experience, that our deepest understanding as a community, to be shared as broadly as possible.
Great. Well, the other thing you mentioned, of course, was Adistana.
Mm-hmm.
Well, another thing you mentioned was Adistana. And we're sitting here in Adistana. And, I think people who weren't convinced or sure that we needed something like this seem to have come to realise how beneficial it is for us in the order and movement. So I think you can feel satisfied with, you know, those things that you've mentioned for your 10 years as chair of the college. It's a long time, isn't it? We were young 10 years ago.
Certainly younger.
Yeah. We were 10 years younger 10 years ago. Anyway, well, maybe, again, this is already answered by you mentioning the little ceremony that you did. But without assuming, I mean, we've been finishing the podcast by saying, well, what's been the highlight of the meeting for you? So what's been the highlight of this meeting for you, Damarati?
Oh, my goodness, the outing to the Sebastio Salgado film must come somewhere in the mix. I suppose the highlight for me, that it was on that evening, and the ritual was moving, but I don't know if you know this about me, but probably ritual isn't one of
not your strengths.
Focuses. But it was an overwhelming, you know, getting to sit in the circle and hearing people so explicitly appreciative. There was the nice gag, wasn't it? I can't remember who was making the reference to the funeral and saying that usually people have to die before you've got
it was Nagabodhi, I think.
A lineup of people being that, you know, kind of spelling out your good points at such length, and actually to be present at your own funeral and to hear some of that stuff was very kind of moving and affirming, actually.
Yeah, and you did seem to take it. I mean, sometimes it's quite hard to sit in a room and be rejoiced in for, well, what was quite a long time in the end.
It was quite a long time. Yeah.
So, anyway, you know, just to finish, I'd just like to say how much I've appreciated you 10 years of chairing the college. And, you know, I just have watched you work incredibly hard. And I know you say temperamentally it suits you because, you know, your curiosity allows you to... Yeah, you're interested in the order, you're interested in the community, so it gives you an opportunity to be involved and to know what's going on. At the same time, I mean, you have worked incredibly hard through those 10 years, and I think what you're handing on to Sadoloka, you're handing on in good nick.
So, if you don't mind me trying to get the last word, I mean,
we could be here on the sofa for a long time.
You know, that was a bit of the feedback, and a few people said that I work hard, and I'll put the hours in, but it's one of these things, forgive me if I'm spelling it the obvious, but you're doing something that you care about, you know, and you would do it for the pleasure of it, and actually what you're doing, to the extent you feel you're doing something that's got meaning, to the extent you feel you're doing something that's got value for you and for other people, it's, in a sense, it's effortless. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's such a privilege to be in a position where you can spend your time doing something that you deeply care about, that you deeply value.
Great. Yeah, no, we're pretty lucky, aren't we, really?
Yes.
Go on, you could have the last word.
No, go on, I'll leave it for you.
No, go on. Goodbye. Thank you.